Good evening, everybody. By the way, we have a new opening song. You just heard it. So no more Frank Sinatra. Hello to the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's called How Deep the Father's Love for Us. So that's what we're going to be playing from now on at the beginning of class. So I hope you get used to it. It's a great song. All right, let's take a moment now of silent prayer together. Heavenly Father, on this day in which we're celebrating, looking forward to, but also celebrating as a congregation tonight, Thanksgiving, we just want to come before you and thank you. We want to thank you for Jesus Christ, his cross and his resurrection. We want to thank you, Father, for the amazing salvation, redemption in Christ and his blood, and the simplicity of faith alone in Christ alone. We also thank you, Father, for placing us in Jesus Christ and for all the blessings and wonders that are associated with that. We also thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit indwelling us and for the Word of God and for the royal family, the members of the body of Christ. And tonight, Father, we just ask for the Holy Spirit's mentorship and prodding as we look at passages in the New Testament that deal with the thankful life. We ask for the Holy Spirit's inspiration on this, Father, and we do it all in Jesus Christ's name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just a couple of announcements this morning as we start. We are going to be having an open house on December 15th, and we have put together little flyers, little invitations. You'll find them dispersed all around the church by this time. Make it easy. Please pick up a handful and give them to people that you know. So we have a good turnout on December 15th. Also, next Sunday is the first Sunday of December, so we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper together at that time. And because this is Thanksgiving week, we are having, of course, service tonight, but we will not be having services tomorrow or Thursday in honor of the holiday. All righty, so I guess that's it. Yes. All righty, please turn in your Bibles this evening to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18. The title of this message in honor of Thanksgiving is simply The Thankful Life. The Thankful Life. The life that we are called to live in response to the gratitude that we have in our souls for all that God has done for us. And we begin this evening in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. No, this is not instructions for the Thanksgiving party, by the way. So just relax, but it is a principle. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. It's a time, of course, Thanksgiving is always a time to think about what you're thankful for. And I'm thankful that God's graces are new every morning. I'm thankful that God saw fit to redeem us, place us in his beloved Son, and that we would be the heirs and recipients of the most incredible blessings in Christ. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm thankful for the fact that our sins have all been forgiven through his blood, and that in him we're reconciled to God and may come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm thankful that we are all heirs of the kingdom, that God is our Father and we're his children, that the Lord is with us always, provides for all our needs, guides us through our earthly journey, and is going to bring us home safely, welcoming us in glory in his presence forever. And I am thankful for the faith and the hope and the love that you have, the saints here at Lighthouse Bible Church, especially as it's been demonstrated in so many ways this year, your faith, your hope, and your love. Again, in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We're learning right away in the book of Ephesians 5, this passage, that a central feature of the Spirit-filled life is thanksgiving. It's tied together with being filled with the Spirit is this thanksgiving and how it's expressed in singing and making melody and always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even to God, a Father. Please turn, though, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, where we're really going to start looking at this question of what is the thankful life? Colossians 3:15. Now, the book of Colossians, as you're turning there, was written to Christians who lived in what is today modern Turkey. Colossians is probably the epistle with the most to say about thanksgiving, too, about giving thanks. So here we have Turkey and thanksgiving. I couldn't resist that. It's true, though. Colossians is in the modern Turkey, and it is the book. If you look at all the epistles that are directed to the church, the one that's the most full of thanksgiving is Colossians. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Turkey and thanksgiving should go together. Colossians 3:15, though, let's begin. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. There it is. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. When a saint, a believer, is genuinely thankful for being forgiven for all of his sins, for being made a new creation, thankful for being placed in Christ with all the wonders and blessings that are there for him, when a saint is genuinely thankful to God the Father and for the Lord Jesus Christ, thankful for the Holy Spirit that we have inside, thankful for God's Word, what does that thankful saint's life look like? What does the life of a thankful saint, someone who really has gratitude in his heart for the things that the Lord has done for him, what does that life look like? In keeping with the meaning of thanksgiving, tonight I'm going to show you how the Bible describes the thankful life. Because the Bible paints a vivid picture of what the thankful life looks like. We'll begin now in the book of Hebrews that we studied this year. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. When we were in the book of Hebrews, we know that it's about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. We know that there's a lot of exhortation. But at the end of chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews gives us an instruction. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, or 28 rather. It's Hebrews 12, 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Again, therefore, since we receive a kingdom, this is something to be thankful for, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, I want you to notice something right away. I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree, but you can figure out right away that gratitude is something we show. Interesting, right? Show gratitude. That's the command. In other words, it goes beyond being grateful. This command says show it. Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. When we're truly thankful, we really are, there's an urge inside of us to find a way to show it, to find a way to show, to demonstrate, express, live out the gratitude we have in our hearts for the things that the Lord has done for us, for the forgiveness of all our sins, for being in Christ, for knowing that we have an eternal glory, a kingdom waiting for us. When we get that and we're really grateful inside, there'll be an urge to show it in different ways. How? Well, we are supposed to show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. So what does the grateful life look like? Well, one characteristic of the thankful saint is an increasing reverence and awe for God and for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. An increasing reverence and awe for God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul put it in Corinthians, Paul, who could find words to express almost anything, and invented words, as a matter of fact, in the New Testament. When it came to that gratitude in his heart for Jesus Christ, he said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." That's an expression of awe, of reverence for the things that Christ is and that God has done. You know, there's a story about a man who went down to the slave block to buy a slave girl. As she looked at the rich man bidding on her, she figured he was just another rich man who was going to buy her and abuse her. He won the bid. And as he was walking away with his property, he said, "Young lady, you're free." And she said, "What does that mean?" "It means you're free." "Does that mean," she said, "that I can say whatever I want to say?" And the gentleman said, "Yes, dear, you could say whatever you want to say." "Does that mean that I can be whatever I want to be?" And he said, "Yes, you can be whatever you want to be." "Does that mean I can go wherever I want to go?" He said, "Yes, you can now go wherever you want to go." And that girl, with tears streaming down her face, said, "Fine, I'm going to go with you." That's gratitude for being set free. That's how we have reverence and awe for the things that God has done for us. But how do we show it? How do we show gratitude? Hebrews 12:28, right? "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God," what? "An acceptable service." Aha, with reverence and awe. You see, gratitude in the heart overflows into a life of service. You know, those of you that have joined us for our Thursday night informal Bible studies, you know that we've been looking at how this life of service operates through the different spiritual gifts that we have and the exercise of them. How people have the gift of helps, and others have the gift of mercy, and others have the gift of administration, others have the gift of giving, others have the gift of teaching and shepherding, others have the gift of evangelism, and so forth. And we've seen that all of that is a representation of the Holy Spirit endowing us for the purpose of living a life of service to others, particularly other believers in the body of Christ. So gratitude in our heart overflows into a life of service. Gratitude is something we show, and what a wonderful way to show it, by having a life that's dedicated to serving the body of Christ. What does the grateful life look like? Let's continue. Let's press on, because as a matter of fact, the whole rest of the letter of Hebrews, all of chapter 13, is one marvelous description of the thankful saint. Let's look at Hebrews 13:1. "Let the love of the brethren continue." Let love of the brethren continue. Third characteristic of the thankful life that we're looking at, because we're honoring Thanksgiving, is that it is marked by a tremendous love for the brethren. It's marked by a tremendous love for the brethren. Let love of the brethren continue. And don't miss this. Real love gives. Real love acts to express itself in the form of doing good works that build up and assist the ones that you love. You know, we've already been there tonight, but hold your place in Hebrews 13:1, because there's a matchless passage in the book of Colossians that exhorts us to live out our gratitude, the fact that we're grateful that we're in Christ, that we're grateful that we're redeemed, to live it out by the way we love our fellow believers. So if you would, please go back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Thanksgiving is the time of year where we think about the things we're grateful for. Think about being grateful for our families, being grateful for the blessings in our life, but most importantly, being grateful for all that the Lord has done for us. And if we want to have a life that's a thankful life, the New Testament tells us how to live that way. And tonight we're going to have 14 characteristics of the thankful life that the New Testament paints a picture for us. Look at Colossians 3:12. "So those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved," see, there's some things to be grateful for, that we're chosen of God. That in eternity, remember we saw that in eternity, before he ever created the world, that he thought about us and had a dream about us in terms of us being in union with Christ. And we're beloved. We're the ones being loved by God. That's by grace. That's by faith. That God looks at us now and the same kind of love he has for his son, Jesus Christ, is pouring into our lives right now. That's something to be grateful for. And then we've been declared perfectly righteous by God. That's something to be grateful for. So he says, therefore, knowing that these things are true about you, the things that you should be grateful for, here's how you live a life that has your gratitude overflowing into your life and the kind of person you are. What do? Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone. That's kind of interesting. That's the Lord being gracious and understanding how we operate. We're never going to get to the point where we never have any complaints against anyone. But being grateful for the fact that the Lord's forgiven us of all of our sins, when we are about to have a complaint against somebody, instead, if we're grateful, that leads to a life where we what? Bear with one another and forgive each other instead. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And I'm reminded of that woman in the Gospels where Jesus is invited to dinner at the Pharisee's house, and the Pharisee totally neglects his responsibilities of hospitality to his guest Jesus. And then in the middle of the banquet, in comes this flagrant sinner, this prostitute woman who just came out of gratitude for the Lord, and she had this expensive ointment, and she just wasted it all, so to speak, by just anointing his feet and her tears and washing the feet with her tears. And Jesus said, this is the one who understands gratitude. She's forgiven much. She's sinned much, but she's forgiven much. Look at her love. That's the idea. That's the idea. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Notice these are commands for us to be purposeful in how we live, to us to have intentions and be intentional about letting the word of God richly dwell within us, about putting on. We ought to do this. This is an instruction. Put on a heart of compassion. Put on a heart of kindness. Put on a heart of humility and gentleness and patience. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom which you've been given by God, by grace, teaching and admonishing one another. So that's part of this too. It's part of looking out for one another, teaching one another. And this is not limited to whoever has the spiritual gift of teaching, gang. This is something that's addressed to all of us. We should all be finding ways to teach one another what the Word of God has to say, to admonish. There it is, by the way. There are those two gifts we've been talking about, teaching and exhortation, right here. Teaching and admonishing one another. Sure, they're spiritual gifts, but we should all be doing that. We should all be finding things in the Word of God and finding opportunities to speak those things to each other, to build us up and to admonish one another. That means to call one another on things and to challenge one another, but also to encourage each other, admonishing one another. And notice how, by the way, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I know a lot of people try to feel kind of a little embarrassed to think about doing that. I mean, right? I mean, kind of not. It's just not, I don't know why it's not like this, but typically it's not like this, that you don't, you know, you have gratitude in your heart and you see a way to minister to somebody and you sing to them. But you know something? When you're really grateful and you're really in love, you do that. You do that. You see, now I'm not necessarily recommending that we should all be walking through the hallways singing sweet melodies to each other. But maybe we should in a certain way. Maybe there should be times where we're so filled up with the goodness of God and the power of God's word and a desire to minister to one another. It's not the worst thing in the world to have a song on your heart and maybe on your lips. After all, that's what my Bible says. You might think I'm crazy, but it says, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How exactly do you do that without singing? I don't know. I'm sure people that don't like to sing will find a way. Unless you miss the point, he goes on, he says, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So if you don't want to do it to other members of the royal family, maybe you can just, you know, when you're in the shower or on your own somehow, just sing a song to the Lord every once in a while. You know, I bet he'd appreciate that. This is part of the life, the thankful life. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. giving thanks through him to God the Father. All right, so the fourth characteristic of the thankful life is this. The grateful believer is something, becomes something, puts on things. And that doesn't mean fake, it means real. Compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient with others. These, of course, are fruits of the Spirit. These are things that were remarkable about Jesus Christ when he was here. His compassion and his kindness and his humility. And being gentle and patient with others. See, but the believer who understands and learns and soaks in exactly what Christ has done for us and has a relationship with the Lord whereby we're continually in awe and reverence of him and grateful for all he's done, that's the kind of believer who's going to become compassionate for others. You can't help it. When you understand how compassionate the Lord has been to you, when you really get that, when it's really into the fiber of your heart, you're going to become a compassionate person. This is how this works. When you understand the kindness of God our Father in grace, rescuing us from slavery to sin, when you get that, the kindness that he's shown to you, you're going to become a kind person to others. When you understand the humility of Jesus Christ, though he was God, though he was rich, for our sake he became poor. When you grasp that, when that's a living fact about who Jesus Christ is to you, you're going to find out that you're going to be a lot more humble with other people now. And same thing with being gentle. Right? David in the Old Testament said, your gentleness, Lord, makes me great. Makes me gentle. And the patience that God has. I'll tell you, that's one thing that I've been coming home to me this year in big, big ways. When I look at all the areas where we've had to sort of change our thinking, sort of in so many ways. I'm not just talking about the one thing, the one doctrine that this all started out on, but I'm talking that's led to a whole reevaluation and a whole change. It's been humbling, and but the thing about it is, I look back now at my Heavenly Father watching us, me, all those years, knowing that it wouldn't be until 2013 that the light bulb would go off in a certain area. And yet he didn't, you know, banish me from anything. He didn't say he's not doing it fast enough. He was patient with me. You see, when I see that about him, and it's real because it's my life and I've seen how patient he is with me, you know what that does to me? It makes me want to be patient with you, with other people. It's marvelous. That's the way it works. That's what the thankful life is all about, being patient with other people. Not only that, but the thankful, grateful believer is something else. Because the life of thanks is a life of forgiving others. You see, this is why it's so important, of course, to really have it settled in your heart that your sins have been forgiven. Because if that's not settled in your heart, you're not going to have that flow into a life of forgiving others because you still feel like you're on the hook. Believe me, it's only the heart that realizes God's forgiven me that is freed up in gratitude to really be a person, a saint, that forgives other people freely. You see, if you think that there's a transaction and an accounting and a God holding things over you before he forgives you, then guess what? You're going to be a person who's going to treat the failings and sins of others as transactions, as holding things over them. But once you realize that God's freely and completely forgiven you by the blood of Christ, then you can become a person who freely forgives others. That's what we're talking about. See, gratitude is really, well, you know what thankfulness or gratitude is? It's a genuine heart response to the grace of God. He starts this whole thing. He loves first, therefore we love others. He's forgiven us, therefore we forgive others. He's been patient with us, therefore we're patient with others. That's what it is. It's a response to the unbelievable graces that God has poured into our lives, every one of us. So it's a life of forgiving others. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which you were indeed called in one body, and be thankful. And then in verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You see, thankful hearts, let the word of God richly dwell within. You know, there are some people that treat the word of God as a transaction. What do I mean by that? There's certain people who've kind of put it in the category of, it's something I got to do every day. Something I got to do every day. So I'll do the required, but that's about it. That's not the idea. The idea is if you really realize that God so loved the world that he gave his uniquely born son, whoever believes in him will have eternal life, and that these are the words of eternal life, that this is really the thinking of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then a grateful heart for all of that is going to want to soak it all in. Somebody who's in love doesn't say, well, you know, I got a letter from my loved one today. Now, you know, my only reading time for letters is between 6 and 7 at night. It's 10 o'clock in the morning and I got this mail, but I'm going to put it aside. And, you know, I've already got the newspaper to read, and I've got, so if I have time, maybe at 5 of 7, I will, you know, do the allotted time to read that letter. Where's the love? No. If you got a letter from somebody you love, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you're going to push it aside and you're going to open that letter and read it. That's what we're talking about. That kind of desire to say, you know, there's nothing more precious in this world than the thinking of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am going to let that dwell in me richly. Why? Because I'm grateful. I get it. I know there's nothing better than that in my life. Thankful hearts, let the word of Christ richly dwell within. And then grateful saints, as we've already mentioned, teach and admonish one another. Notice that, you know what's inescapable about gratitude when it comes to Christ? What's inescapable is that it pours out to other people. We saw that when we were looking at the book of Ephesians 4 and 5. We were wrestling with this whole idea of what do we do about our sins? Well, we lay aside the old man and we get renewed in how we think and we put on the new man. And as we roll through chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Ephesians, what we started to realize was all of it was bound up in the body of Christ. That it's a remarkable thing that the way in which we live out our gratitude, the way in which we live out our understanding of what the cross and the resurrection means, is in how we treat one another. And that's not rocket science, but it's profound to understand that. That he's saying to us, look, if you're grateful for the fact that you've learned these things and you know these things to be true about yourself, then a grateful heart teaches others. You learn it, you teach it. A grateful heart admonishes others. If you realize the value of the word of God holding you up short in an area where you used to think it was all right to do something, and then the word of God convicted you and you realize it's not all right, then you know what? A grateful heart provides that service to another. Even if, you know what? Of course it's going to be a little tense when you do something like that. Of course it's going to be something you may feel reluctant to do. But the fact of the matter is that when you understand the value of it, And you can see an opportunity to do that for a brother and sister in Christ, you do it. That's what a grateful heart. That's the thankful life, admonishing one another. And you can't miss it. Thanksgiving also manifests itself in singing. Again, we probably should have had some music tonight, as a matter of fact, now that I think about it. Singing. I mean, it does the heart good. I don't know about you, but when I've had my most difficult times, spiritual battles this year, one of the things that I learned to do, and it made such a big difference, was to just put on some Christian music and listen to it for a while and start singing along with it. It does your heart good. And the thing about it is that the thing is, musicians, people that write songs, we're going to talk about somebody in a minute that wrote songs in the last century, 2 centuries ago now. Wow, we're getting old. I used to think we were in the 20th century. I still sometimes think we're in the 20th century. We're not. We're in the 21st, but that's another story. But a lady who wrote a lot of great hymns in the 19th century. We're going to take a look at her. But the thing about it is that there's something about putting together the lyrics of a song, the way you really, the people who do that can kind of assemble and assimilate and get to the heart of the matter of things. So many times this year when I was thinking about, how Christ has dealt with our sins, songs came to mind. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Right? I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved and sanctified I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Why did that take me until 2013 to catch up with that song? I don't know, but that's what I mean. You know, there's a lot of great things that come out of just singing. So it does. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. All right, let's head back over to the book of Hebrews, where we've been already. We're going to pick it up in chapter 13, verse 2. Chapter 13, verse 2. We're in Colossians and Hebrews tonight. That's so appropriate. What do those two have in common? I almost feel like it's an informal Thursday night and I want you to talk to me now. But think about those two books from what we little, I shouldn't say what little we know. That's a horrible way to put it. We know a lot about it. But in terms of what we know about the big picture, you know what they have in common? They are both fantastic tributes to the supremacy and uniqueness and amazingness, if that's a word, of Jesus Christ. That's what they have in common. Both of them, Hebrews and Colossians, are the two greatest tributes, if it were, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And doesn't it make sense that in there we would find such rich material about how to live the thankful life? Because who are we thankful for? At the end of the day, we're thankful for Jesus Christ. And that's where we find it. So back in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. See, I want you to really tonight, as you look forward to Thanksgiving, and you know, no matter what you know, and it means so many things, football and turkey and relatives and I don't know what else, but you know somewhere down deep it really means gratitude. It really means being thankful. But you may not really know how to express that. You may not really understand, what am I to do with that? I mean, you know, okay, you've heard me preach in the past, and we talk about all the things we're thankful for and why we should be thankful and the fact that we live in the United States and there's starving people, all those things. And you sort of those all get bottled up inside, but then there's this desire, this urge, if you're really genuine about it, to say, but how do I express my gratitude? How do I live like I mean it? And, of course, this is not just something for Thanksgiving, but whatever. We think about it this time of year. I want you to tie together tonight that desire at past Thanksgivings or whenever it is that you realize the need to be grateful. I want you to understand that God in his word gives you the tool set to live like it, to express it. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're going to look at 14 ways in which we express being thankful, biblical. That's really what this is all about, so that you can now understand that you can go somewhere with that. You know, it's not just having somebody preach at you to say you should be more grateful. You know that. But also to say, now that I get that, I want to express it. So it manifests itself in the things we've been talking about, letting the word of Christ richly dwell within and teaching and admonishing each other, singing to the Lord. And we have another one here in Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Once you get the idea that when you were God's enemy, a stranger to him, he said, you know, we made him a stranger, by the way. I mean, there's nothing to me more pathetic, really, than in the Gospel of John when it says that the creator of the world came and the world didn't recognize him. The world treated him as a stranger. He came to the Jewish people and they treated him as a stranger. But what did he do? What was his response to being treated like a stranger? You know what it was? Dying for those people. Once you get that in your heart, that when we treated him as a stranger and we were a stranger to him, his enemies, his response was dying for us, you realize, wow. So I should take some of that understanding and gratitude. And the next time there's somebody in my life who seems to be a stranger, who other people are treating like a stranger, I'm going to do something different. You see, I'm going to call on the gratitude I have for Jesus and the Father for rescuing me when I was estranged from them, and I'm going to use that. I'm going to be obedient to Hebrews 13:12, where it says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. And it's interesting what he says about this, too. Kids love this blast, the second part of this verse. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Kids love that stuff, wondering, are angels around today and so forth? Well, the answer is they very well could be. Because look at it right there. For by this, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Interesting. But the point of it is not to, like, try to catch an angel. But the point of it is to be hospitable to strangers. Hospitable. Meaning, you know, show them some kindness. Show them, do something that shows that you don't want them to be strangers to you much longer. Whatever that is, you're creative, you can figure it out. Verse 13. Oops, I didn't put you got to see this, right? See this in the eye gate. The thankful saint shows hospitality to strangers. So again, when you're sitting around on Thursday, you're eating your Thanksgiving turkey and wondering who's playing in the football game, and you're wondering, I'm feeling really good right now. I got my turkey, I got my stuffing, I've had a glass of wine, I'm surrounded by people that I love, hopefully, a few that I have a hard time with, but when you're at that place and you say, where do I go with this gratitude in my heart? I hope there's a voice that says there's 14 ways to do it, 14 ways of looking at gratitude, and one of them is to show hospitality to strangers, and maybe that will just sit there, and at the right time, that will just pop right out in your life and say, oh, there, I can do that now. Here's somebody that nobody's paying attention to, being treated like a stranger. I can take my gratitude and use it right there. I'm going to show hospitality to strangers. Look at verse 3. Here's another way. I told you that, see, at the end of chapter 12, it says that we should live this kind of life of gratitude. We should show gratitude. Show it by service. And now in chapter 13, he just lays it out. Here are the ways to do it. Verse 3. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them. And those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are in the body. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. A lot of people don't like looking at pictures and stories of persecuted Christians. They just don't like it. Part of the reason that they don't like it is because you know what happens? You feel guilty, don't you? You feel like, boy, my life is so good and this is so bad and why is that? And I really like life the way I am, if I'm honest. I don't really want to think about people in that condition, right? You know what the answer to that is? It's this verse. This verse says, remember them. That's remember them. Time after time, when organizations like the Voice of the Martyrs ask these people, what do you want the people in the United States to do, the Christians? You know what they usually start off with? Pray for us. Pray for us. Remember the prisoners. Even in our own country, we've got Christians in prison in this country, not necessarily for being a Christian. Maybe they broke the law, but they're in prison and nobody comes to see them and everybody forgets about them. You can remember them. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, meaning, wow, what would it be like if this Thanksgiving I was in prison rather than able to spend it with my family? And then all of a sudden, when you think about that, you have a tenderness for the people that are enduring that right now. And those who are ill-treated, that's the persecution part. And there's people in countries all around this world that are ill-treated for being Christians. And what are we supposed to do? Remember them. Be nice for families and for us as a family to think about ways in which we could do that. What could we do to remember those who are ill-treated Christians in other countries? What could we do for them? It's an expression of our gratitude. And since you yourselves are in the body. And that's just, that last part points out the fact that he's talking specifically about Christians, believers who are in prison, believers who are ill-treated. So the grateful believer cares for other believers who are in prison or who are being persecuted. Verse 4. Verse 4 is so interesting. I read it and I'm like, that's an interesting one. That sort of seems like different from a lot of the others. But it's right here. This has got to be this is part of how I show gratitude. How? Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Interesting. So what is that saying? It's saying another expression of thanksgiving is honoring the New Testament principles of marriage. And you're going to have a great opportunity to do that because families all get together at Thanksgiving. And a lot of these issues come up. And also to abstain from fornication or adultery. So if fornication are the things, sexual things you do that have nothing to do with your marriage partner, and maybe you're not married, if you're having sex outside of marriage, that's fornication, a lot of other weird stuff going on. Adultery, of course, is when somebody who's married has sex with somebody who's not their husband or wife. So it's saying if you're really grateful, you don't do those things. You honor the New Testament principles of marriage and you abstain from fornication and adultery. Please turn to Colossians 3:18. It's so interesting because we've just been in the book of Colossians studying what it has to say about the life of gratitude and thankfulness. We actually ended up in verse 17 when we were last there. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. What does that roll right into? So you're saying, I want to do that. Show me what that means. Look at verse 18. This is what it means. Wives, be subject to your husbands. So if you're grateful this Thanksgiving for all that Christ means to you, you know one way you can show it, ladies? Being subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, if you're grateful this Thanksgiving for all that Christ means to you, how can you show it? What's another way? What's number 11 really mean for us? It means to love your wives and do not be embittered against them. And speaking of principles of marriage and family, children, if you're really grateful this Thanksgiving for all the things that you know Christ means to you, how can you express it? Here's a great way. Be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. See, this is block and tackle Christianity. But it needs to be spoken, and it needs to be heard, and it needs to be reminded, and it needs to be done. It needs to be done. Husbands, get on with loving our wives as Christ loves the church. Wives, get on with being subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Children, let's get on with really being obedient to your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And then, in particular, the fathers in verse 21, going back at their relationship with the children, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. You see, fathers in particular, we have to win the hearts of our children. We have to be very watchful for what's going on in their hearts. Watchful that they're not getting too discouraged, that there's not a bitterness brewing in their lives, and to be able to make decisions and take stands that are consistent with helping them. You see, we always have this vision of the father just laying on the law and being the disciplinarian. You know what's interesting about this? And this is true when you think about when you see the fathers and their children. It doesn't say that in the New Testament. Interesting. It tells the children to be obedient. It tells the fathers, don't exasperate your children. It's all about others in the New Testament. It's not about us trying to find our rights and standing on them. Everything is about the other ones. If it's talking to the fathers, it's talking about the wives and the children. If it's talking to the women, it's talking about the husbands. If it's talking to the children, it's talking about the parents. It's always the others. The others, the others. That's how we express our gratitude. Back in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It's so interesting that the New Testament gets right into our lives and touches us all. You want to be grateful? Here's 14 ways. Let's read verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever leave you or forsake you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord's my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? The 12th way in which we can express our gratitude and live the thankful life is to be content with what you have. No matter who you are tonight, be content with what you have. And what goes right along with that is make sure you don't have a heart that is in love with money, because that is inconsistent with the life of gratitude of a Christian. It's inconsistent with the life of thankfulness to be in love with money. Don't do it. Be content with what you have. No matter who. In other words, if you don't have much, you think you don't have much. Okay? And that's all relative. We've been through that before. Just really, I mean, if you were to take anybody who lives in South Florida, okay, the poorest person in South Florida, and you were to take their, look at them and what they have for income and welfare and whatever's coming in their lives and add it all up, and then you go to, Somalia, and you want to find the typical wage in that country, you would learn quickly that the poorest of the poor in the United States are doing better than typical wages in many countries of this world. So I'm just saying that to try to say, well, our standards for what's a little and what's a lot we're trained by what's around us. I see this with children. I see this with myself. All the time I think about, wow, you know, I look around at certain people and what they have and compare it to me, and I say they have more, they have less and all that. And I realize that, wait a minute, you know what, when I was growing up, you know, if I compared me growing up to me now, I'd be like, wow, look at that rich guy. It's true, it's all relative. But see, that's missing out on everything, because the whole point of this is, no matter what you have, be it little or a lot, God wants you to be content with what you have. That's so, so important. All right, time to talk about that lady who wrote songs in the 19th century. Her name was Fanny Crosby. A lot of you probably heard of her. Fanny Crosby. She wrote very popular, wonderful gospel songs. She was stricken with blindness when she was 6 weeks old. And when she was just eight, an eight-year-old girl, she wrote the following lines. This is her first song. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. 8 years old. That's being content with what you have. Her blindness was the result of a doctor's mistake when she was 6 weeks old, a quack. She never expressed bitterness, in fact, only gratitude. Another time she said this, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank Him for this. I could not have written thousands of hymns if I had been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice." That's being content with what you have. One time a preacher came to her and said, well-meaningly, "You know, I think, Fanny, it's a great pity that the Master did not give you sight. He showered so many other gifts on you." She answered right away. I guess she'd heard such things before. She said, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind?" Said the poet. "Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior, Jesus Christ." That's gratitude in the heart. That's a great way to live. And I, you know, surely every one of us can do the same. Whatever it is that has been on your heart this year, as the area of your life where you think it's your handicap, your blindness, be inspired by Fanny Crosby and by the Word of God that says being content with what we have, to find that same ability to see it that way as she did. It's remarkable, but it's something we can all do. And so many times, by the way, the fact of the matter is that those areas of our life that seem to be the most painful and the most difficult and the most challenging, those thorns in the flesh, invariably are the very things that the Lord uses to do something remarkable with us. And we just need to open our eyes to what He's doing in that area. The 13th thing, we're almost done, is that our gratitude to the Lord will also express itself in giving. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9, 10. The thankful life is a life that is generous in giving with whatever you have. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, 10. "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution, giving to them and to all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Our gratitude to the Lord will also express itself in giving. All right, go back to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, and we'll wrap up tonight. Hebrews 13, 7. We're looking at 14 aspects, characteristics, features of the thankful life. We're going to look at one more and then we're going to close. Hebrews 13:7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. I need to point that out, by the way, that it's fair game to be evaluating the conduct of those that are in positions of leadership. That's what it says here. And in fact, if you look at the criteria for elders, you'll find out that it's chock full of things related to their conduct and their character. So that's another issue, but I wanted to point that out. Then the writer of Hebrews goes on and it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to drop down, though, to verse 15 at this point, because I want to show one more really important feature of those who have a thankful hearts and want to live the thankful life. Look at Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, through the Lord, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. We're talking about prayer now. This is the last one. The fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us. For we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. The thankful life is a life filled with prayers that express this thanksgiving. And this is the last one, and perhaps the most wonderful way in which you can express your gratitude is with a life filled with prayers that express your thanksgiving. Paul, over and over again, whenever he wrote almost the letter, he would say things like he did in Ephesians. He says, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Or in the book of Philippians, he said, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. And he tells us in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In the New Testament, prayer is inseparable from giving thanks. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And we devote ourselves to prayer, keeping alert with it in an attitude of thanksgiving. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, you know this one, many of you, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. The thankful life is filled with prayers of thanksgiving. So I'm going to ask you, each of you, to do one thing this Thanksgiving holiday. At some point in the next few days, take out a piece of paper and write down some big things you're thankful for. Make a copy of it. Make a copy of that list and put the copy in our prayer box. Because next week when we gather together for prayer, I want us to have a session that is filled with thanksgivings through our Lord Jesus Christ to God our Father. Will you do that for us? I hope you will. I pray that you will. So in closing this evening, let us just take the benediction that ends the book of Hebrews, starting in verse 20 of Hebrews 13. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving to each one of you. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all that he represents, all who he is, and all that he's done. We thank you, Father, for giving us these 14 practical ways to express our gratitude. Father, help us to go back and revisit these things and to really understand and see how we got to live out our gratefulness to you, our thanksgiving, in these different ways. We just want to just help us to remember to go back to Colossians chapter 3 and go back to Hebrews chapter 13 anytime we need to be reminded of these things, these great ways in which we can express the thankful life. We ask it in Christ's name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.